Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Wouldn't it have been nice to know that before going to the polls? And, oh, by the way, nice to know that even if the referendum passed, which it did, that MPS was planning a budget that would result in firing nearly 300 staff. Either they knew all that over at MPS and deliberately hid that information from voters, or they're so incompetent they didn't know. I think it's the former, but the latter ain't good either.
No, right? No.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
On Wisconsin's Morning News this Monday morning. Tonight, Milwaukee School Board holds a hastily scheduled special meeting at the request of Board President Marva Herndon.
The board is taking this matter very seriously, and we want to hear from the public.
Are you sure about that?
Let's talk about it. Give us the dollar amount, Marva. How much he's screwing over MPS this time?
Shame! You will not shut us up!
And that's the last time the board heard from the public. That was Thursday night's meeting last week where they were supposed to vote. I think we were saying all week, hey, MPS board's getting together, they're going to vote on the budget for the coming school year.
Budget plan, yep.
Instead, it called the police on the parents and others who were at the meeting who kept interrupting.
Good evening, President Herndon and members of the board. Keith Fosley, Superintendent of Schools.
Security.
This month's report highlights the eventful month.
Not a good night for Superintendent Keith Fosley at that meeting. Got booed when introducing himself as a matter of regular course for the school board. More on Dr. Fosley in a moment. As the revised agenda for tonight, had that in the top of the hour news, also includes a closed session where his future with MPS will be discussed. Well, let's backfill here and revisit what this is really all about. And importantly, why this matters for everybody. This is not just an MPS problem. This is affecting the entire state of Wisconsin. In the course of just over a week, we found out that funding from the federal government for the MPS-run Head Start program was being suspended. And some very serious concerns there about mistreatment of students. I think some of the people who run that were accused of, I think the language was tossing students.
Right, yeah, physical and verbal abuse.
So that's not good. That funding is in jeopardy. And that state funding now for MPS, also in jeopardy because administrators literally did not do their homework.
They organized for the city to pay a $250 million referendum while they knew he didn't turn in his homework.
Now, that guy had himself a good meeting at the school board the other day. That's just a parent speaking out, interrupting.
And doing his homework.
Yep. We're going to focus a little bit more on his comments in a moment. But finishing the prior point, MPS is required to submit financial records to the State Department of Public Instruction as a regular matter of what they do. And those were due back in September. Not only did they not submit those reports, it sounds like they've completely dropped the ball.
What we've indicated to them is that we were very unlikely to be able to move forward with payments without some plan for how they're going to get us the data that we need.
What stands out to you in that statement, right?
Without some plan.
Some plan.
So no plan.
Not simply like, hey, send in those reports or even finish up those reports real quick and get them in. Have a plan, any plan. To get this completed and sent off to DPI, right? That was Department of Public Instruction Executive Director Sachin Chetta talking with WTMJ. And here's the thing. As I indicated and suggested earlier, what do I care about what happens at MPS? MPS is a mess. I don't care. I don't live there. I live in Oconomowoc or wherever, you know, even some of the larger urban districts, Racine, Kenosha. We got our own problems. What do you care what's going on up there in Milwaukee? This MPS problem is affecting every other public school district in the state.
We have to make sure that a month from now, when we deliver aid estimates to the entire state, that those are as accurate as possible. And so that's why we are riding MPS hard.
So MPS officials didn't do their basics of their job. DPI is saying that we're not sending you any more money until you get us this data or at least a plan to do that. Reading more into Cheda's comments there, every school district right now is trying to set its budget for the coming school year. And they need to know how much money are we getting from DPI for various things. DPI is saying Milwaukee is the biggest school district in the state. We don't have their financial data. We don't know what that line item is going to be.
You need that domino first.
Yeah. And so until we know that, we can't tell everybody else across the state what's going on with their finances, how much money they can count on. So everything is being held hostage for these reports that are 8 months late right now. Back to Jamel Harris, that parent that we heard from earlier. He went to the board meeting the other night. It wasn't exactly well attended, but the few who were there were loud and kept interrupting. TMJ4 News was there as he's shouting things out at the meeting. Didn't much care to have the police called on him, oh, by the way.
They're afraid of the community. They're, as you could see tonight, they're actually just afraid of words. They called extra police on us tonight over words.
So, in fairness, and while I agree with the sentiment from Mr. Harris here, they called the cops because they couldn't conduct the meeting. And the school board has to get through its business. And I'm a big fan of decorum. It's a time and place for when it's your turn.
Sure.
And I understand people are frustrated. That time and place is going to be tonight where they will accept public comment. It wasn't that night, but I agree with him, but they had to allow the board to go ahead and conduct their business. Remember his earlier comment.
They organized for the city to pay a $250 million referendum while they knew he didn't turn in his homework.
Aha! Yeah, wouldn't it have been nice for voters in the city of Milwaukee to know before they approved a $250 million referendum just weeks ago to know that their district was screwing up Head Start to the point the feds won't fund it,
right,
and they're so delinquent on the basic requirements of the Department of Public Instruction that DPI is suspending funding? Wouldn't it have been nice to know that before going to the polls? And, oh, by the way, nice to know that even if the referendum passed, which it did, that MPS was planning a budget that would result in firing nearly 300 staff. Either they knew all that over at MPS and deliberately hid that information from voters, or they're so incompetent they didn't know. I think it's the former, but the latter ain't good either.
No,
right?
No.
And so here we are now. School board going to meet tonight. School board's not taking the blame.
No, we're in a horrible position right now financially. Horrible. And the board had no clue, and I hate that we wasn't given this information.
That's school board director Daryl Jackson. He's saying Board of Education had no idea that MPS was 8 months late on those financial reports and didn't find out till DPI cut off the funding and let him know. We've talked about this, like no matter what sort of corporate structure you work in or whatever, one good rule of thumb about the boss.
Make sure you tell the boss if you screwed something up. Make sure you tell the boss anything.
Yes, because worse than getting good news for the boss, worse than getting bad news is being surprised by bad news. Right? So if something's afoot, you go and pay the piper, so to speak, and let the boss know. And this is the Board of Education, who is the boss of the superintendent of public instruction of Dr. Keith Posley. And they're saying, he didn't tell us. We didn't know. We were blindsided by this. That makes it worse for Posley. As for the super...
Are you concerned about the DPI? Does it impact MPS students? This impacts every student in Wisconsin.
That's Megan Lee from TMJ4 News. She was shouting at Posley as he left for that closed-door session Thursday. TMJ4 also tracked him down in a parking lot. I think Jenna Ray was out there trying to bark questions at him.
He wasn't getting any answers there either.
You had to chase somebody down?
Yeah, it's a little awkward.
Yeah. Not how I like to do business as a reporter. I go through channels. I ask for those interviews. And I think if that's your first thing and you're going at somebody, that's not cool even for a public official.
Generally, it's not. Generally, yes. If you see a reporter doing this, it's because they've made the phone calls. They've done the email requests. They've done everything they're supposed to do. And eventually, the news director says, hey, go get this guy.
We know he's going to be here. Go. I need you to get up in his business and show him not answering the questions. I'm with you on that. And I don't think that stands for regular old people in the world. I don't think you should be chasing. Nobody has a responsibility to talk to you or me about whatever, except for if you're a public official
that's
funded
different by
taxpayer dollars and you're dodging, then you're going to get chased down. And so I think that's fair. So whether or not we hear from Posley directly tonight at the board meeting, don't know. There's an extensive public comment session that is supposed to be both virtual and in person, so people can register to join online, and those comments will be considered. Expect a lot of folks to be out there tonight. Going to be a barn burner. Auditorium at MPS headquarters, meeting at 5:30 p.m.
We want to hear from the public.
What's happening overseas right now is the equivalency of fraternity back and forth on Greek Street at your local college. Okay. Or perhaps it's local college versus college down the street.
Okay.
You know, fiasco.
It could be intercollegiate shenanigans as well.
Potentially one or the other. And you'll understand.
I think that one fits better in this case. Please continue.
There is tension in the North and in the South Koreas right now. A nasty fight over so-called trash balloons.
North Korea has flew over 1,000 balloons carrying trash and manure to the South.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's ABC's Kate Lee. She's in Seoul. North Korea is sending basically weather balloons of garbage, trash, manure, whatever you want, into the South. And then it gets dumped. And
like they eventually just fall out.
Yeah,
right.
There's video and pictures, just garbage. And it's some
just
of
drop
it,
onto the street?
Yeah. Sidewalks, streets. Manure, all kinds of things. Basically, they're grabbing a lunch bag, putting excrement in it, lighting it on fire, and ringing a doorbell. That's basically what they're doing right now to South Korea. Why would they be doing this, you may ask?
What was that, Billy Madison? Here's a nice piece of...
Yeah. So that is what's happening. And the reason North Korea is doing this, because they're frustrated. They say that South Korea civic groups are sending anti-propaganda leaflets to the North in balloons. So basically just saying, hey, telling people of the North, you know, your government is corrupt and awful, and here's what's really happening in the world and things like that. And the North doesn't like that.
So I don't blame the North for not liking that.
Sure. And the North is like, here you go.
Okay.
Have some garbage.
Oh,
then.
Yeah? You send your garbage up here? We're going to send our garbage down there.
Isn't that like some kind of intercollegiate thing or interfraternity thing? Like where you're leaving garbage at the SAE house, dumping
this.
All your empty cans or something.
Then you hide in the bushes while they come out to find it.
Yeah, right. Something like that. Ooh. Or is it like stealing the mascot at the rival college?
That's right. There's great precedent for that. And sometimes it's a live mascot, right? They steal somebody's goat or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever. Spike the bulldog.
Yes.
Something like that could happen.
Well, is there anything in the North they could, the South could now take?
It would have to be some prized possession of Kim Jong-un, right? Like something that like he just, his beloved animal or beloved.
He's a car guy.
Yeah.
Right. I remember when he met Putin in Russia and Putin showed him like his motorcade cars and stuff.
That's right.
And he was all real impressed by that.
What about
it? So, like, does he have any cars? Right.
Well, his train got that beautiful train he likes to ride around.
Would doctor up that train, mess with it, graffiti it.
So the South could get back at it.
Right. Yeah.
Or just light some
Kim's
of these
bags Model
on
Railroad.
Fire.
You're right on there.
Yes. Yes.
Just poke at him a little
exactly
bit.
Exactly like that.
Well, look. Of the things the North and South could be doing to each other, I'll take this battle. If you guys want to fight it there.
Agreed.
Go ahead. 8:30 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Thursday is June 6th. Does June 6th ring a bell for anybody? That is the 80th anniversary, June 6, 2024, the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Allied troops storming the beaches of Normandy 80 years ago this Thursday. And some of those guys are still here. Supporters celebrating as veterans left for France over the weekend in Atlanta. They're sending some of the vets who were there to France to commemorate the date. Some of those guys like Jake Larson.
I'm the luckiest man in the world. I'm 101 years old without an acre of pain.
Attaboy, Jake
nice
Larson.
Job.
We are the luckiest guys in the world because of you, Jake Larson. Yeah, so he is going. So June 6th, of course, was the big day. Delta and American have provided flights out of Dallas and out of Georgia this weekend to get some of these veterans there. So they are headed to France. President Biden will be there as well. So will First Lady Jill Biden will be in attendance for some of the festivities that take place later this week.
Man, talk about honor flight.
Those right?
guys going overseas.
Isn't that awesome?
It's just on my mind because I've got my flight coming up. My father-in-law has asked me to be his guardian on his honor flight, which is coming up mid-June.
Nice.
So we
Very
had our we had our guardian training.
Yeah.
You know, and just thinking about the logistics and how much work it requires for all of these volunteers at Stars and Stripes Honor Flight to put this on. And we don't on our flight have any World War II vets. They've done a number of those flights. We have a few from Korea and then primarily Vietnam veterans. Yep. But I was thinking about those World War II guys, right? There aren't, as you said, a lot of them left. So if this is the 80th anniversary and you were just an 18-year-old in the Army, that puts you at 98.
Right. And I just love the idea of going back there for these guys to do that. It's going to be great. And one thing I should point out, because I know you'll appreciate this, that on Saturday, so a couple of days after the big day, the president and his wife will attend a state dinner in Paris at the invitation of the French president, Emmanuel Macron.
Well, are you going to give it the same treatment that you do at an American state dinner?
Maybe.
Yes, I want to know what's on the menu. Yeah. I want to know who's the entertainer.
So I already know on the menu will be hot dogs and chicken wings, whatever else would be considered American food, maybe popcorn and pizza.
That's funny because we always joke whenever someone from another nation is coming here, we always try to give a nod to their culture or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's always our lens of what you would serve.
Right. Which seems strange. It's like, why would how can the French president grill a bratwurst better than I can grill my own bratwurst?
That's the one that we should have, because we suggested the last state dinner at the White House should have been like brats, burgers, and a pan of beans at the end of the line, some hot kraut, whatever. But that's what they'll serve to us.
With a spoon in it.
Right.
Here you go.
Macron's out there grilling.
Right. Looking like $1 million, got a suit on.
Pardon me, Joel. How you like how you say medium rare?
There it is. I was waiting for for the Macron.
You like rare, right?
Say bratwurst and
you bratwurst. Yeah, that was terrible. That's not. That was like part Italian, part French. Fail. It was going so well.
Yeah.
8:42 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Coming up next, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Back in the news, why he's testifying on Capitol Hill today. A46 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Pardon me, hysterics dance disturbed me. Hope nobody was watching the live stream there.
No, you wish you were watching the live stream. Fantastic. Go ahead.
We're talking about where COVID-19 is right now in our public consciousness. And I don't mean like we talk a lot still about things being post-COVID or, well, remember when this happened for COVID, whatever. But we hardly talk about ever anymore COVID affecting us right now. It's just sort of vanished from our daily public mindset. It's still there. People still get it. Every once in a while, you hear someone, well, I wasn't feeling well, I got a COVID test. And others are like, the hell did you get tested for?
Right.
You're like, we're just kind of not doing that anymore. Right. But we are still very much debating where the novel virus came from and how we handled decisions during the pandemic. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who was at the center of that here in the U.S., going to be on Capitol Hill today. He's due to testify before Congress. ABC's Alan Kosick.
Today, Dr. Fauci expected to face questions about social distancing, masking, and remote schooling, and whether guidance on those issues approved by the CDC director was based on science.
It's going to be part of it. It's an important part, but I don't think that's the headline story today. Fauci is under increased criticism as it's now coming out that some key figures in the global response to COVID's emergence may have been hiding their correspondence with one another. And why is that important? Because they were also downplaying the potential of the lab leak theory as origin, and they played a role in controversial research, perhaps, or it is alleged, at the Wuhan lab in China. And this isn't the MAGA crowd exclusively anymore. It's not just Republicans exclusively anymore. Let me pull this from Politico. Democrats vigorously defended the public health bureaucracy and especially its leader, Anthony Fauci, when Republicans sought to tear it down during the pandemic. But now, in an unexpected twist, Democrats on a House investigative panel, that's the one that's set to meet anytime now here in Washington, they're starting to join their GOP colleagues in questioning whether government-backed scientists were fully transparent about controversial virus research and whether a longtime advisor to Fauci skirted public records requests, More on that from ABC's Allison Kosick again.
Ahead of the hearing, a subcommittee has released a transcript of closed-door interviews with Fauci in January in which he was questioned about whether he knew about former colleagues allegedly skirting public records laws. In one email exchange, a former colleague wrote to another, "There is no worry about Freedom of Information Act requests, FOIAs. I can either send stuff to Tony on his private Gmail or hand it to him at work or at his house. He is too smart to let colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble."
So what that suggests is these folks were actively trying to find a way to make sure that their correspondence with Dr. Fauci was not subject to public information requests. And that's not just for journalists. Anyone can ask for documents in the public, whether it's something in your school district, whether it's the police department, state officials, what have you. Their correspondence is considered a public record and therefore needs to be provided to anyone in the public who asks for it. There are certain restrictions and things like that, but largely these are public documents. And the suggestion here is folks who are working in Dr. Fauci's circle were trying to find a way around that so that their conversations couldn't become public.
And that, by the way, is not unprecedented. That does happen where people use different email accounts and whatnot.
One of the reasons that former Secretary Clinton got in trouble with the whole other email server, part of that was a national security issue, but also was, look, if you're getting stuff delivered to your home email address instead of your government address, that may not have the same scrutiny that other public documents have. So, yes, there's precedent for folks trying to go around that. And just because they were, I have to be fair, just because they were talking offline or out of public view
doesn't necessarily mean
doesn't get you to connect to that next dot. But it's part of the story. What did you have to hide then? And Fauci, remember, was one of the people very early on leading that group of doctors to tamp down any conversation, even any suggestion that we ought to at least consider, did this novel virus come from the very lab in China that was the epicenter of the outbreak, that was the original patient zero, and happened to be the only place on the planet Earth that dozens of the next closest relatives to COVID-19 all live and are currently researched? We can't even talk about that. And he led that effort to suppress conversation or debate about that. And that's why he's always remained controversial on the right, certainly, but now increasingly from the left as well. So we'll see how far down that rabbit hole this line of questioning wants to go with Dr. Fauci today. Don't know. There are other questions as well for him and for everyone who was a decision maker during COVID. All right. Now we know the data's in. Now that we know keeping kids out of school for as long as we did was a disaster. Now, I don't know that we had a better idea. You know, what else could we have done? Send them to school and I guess they all get sick and they bring it home and parents get sick or grandparents get sick or whatever. I don't know what the answer is, but we know that probably shouldn't be the answer again because kids are struggling and kids have turned into young adults now, and that's been a disaster. So it's important to go back and look at what we did. This is going to happen again. There will be other pandemics. But I think still you got to go at and still answer this question. Where did this come from? Who knew what when? And, you know, I'm not necessarily looking for heads to roll, but I want answers. 4 years out from COVID. Think about that.
Oh, geez. It feels like a while ago.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it was yesterday anymore.
We'll see if there are any fireworks on Capitol Hill today.
Oh, there'll be some doozies.
Hearing is expected to start anytime. Quick on that. I want to hear from Fauci. I don't want this, and I don't care.
Oh, what? No monologuing?
Right, yes.
You don't want to hear the senator just spout off a bunch of stuff and not even ask a question?
Yes.
Because they know that's what we and others will pull in the media and play.
Congressman Shinalindin from North Dakota. Why? Is it not true?
Derelict of duty. If that's the line that someone uses, that'll be what's played tonight on NBC.
I'd like him to ask him hard questions, and I want to hear his answers. Yes. 8:53, Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drakamp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Doesn't look like any major concerns of severe weather today, but we do have scattered afternoon storms moving in at a high of 77 degrees. All programs before the Brewer game, so from here on out, will originate from Lake Lawn Resort to WTMJ Classic being played at Majestic Oaks.
Ah, in Delavan.
In Delavan. Mm-hmm. Greater Delavan.
Yep, right by the lake there.
So Scafidi Show is going to be out there, midday news spanning the state, and then Wisconsin's afternoon news all will originate from
now,
that location.
Are you golfing today?
I am golfing.
Yeah? A full 18, or what's your plan here?
Well, I don't know. It's shotgun start at 10 a.m.
We can get there.
It's a 54-minute drive, and it's 8:57, so.
Knowing you, you need some time to stretch and some time on the range. And
I would prefer
for this
that.
Fun event that we are doing.
where the golf doesn't even matter whatsoever.
Are you still carrying your clubs today, Mr. Vetrano?
That's all right. I'll walk. It's a good walk. 8:57 WTMJ Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi is up next.